Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armwell.
And I'm Molly Malshine. It's a dark week again. It's been a dark week for a year. It's been a dark week since we started the Space Trash podcast 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's dark. We watched the Nickelodeon documentary Quiet on Set, and we're going to talk through the FBI raid that's going on at Huff Daddy's house. But before that, obviously, we have to say, on the matter of Kate Middleton, there's been an update.
Oh,
it's so sad. She has announced, I mean, this was a week ago, but she announced she has cancer.
Oh, lol. Right.
And I hate to say, I told you so, because I love to say I told you so. We told you so.
We told you so.
We told you that it was a genuine health issue. We told you that none of the theories were real. We told you so. And I hope you all learn a lesson from that.
Well, and like, if you listen back to the original astrology of when the news of her planned abdominal surgery came out in the first place, even the astrology points to it was obviously a medical issue. On every level, that's what it was. And how interesting that you all got wrapped up spending so much time making it your brand. Like, did Kim K keep that caption up?
Probably. The craziest thing was in the aftermath of the announcement. I assumed that when I went on Twitter and checked what people are saying, they were all going to be like, I'm so embarrassed. We were wrong. And a couple people did, but the vast, vast majority was, I'm not to blame for this. It's because of the bad PR. And it's like, wait. That was the vast majority of what people, real people with their real name on their accounts who have their job listed in their bio were saying, I don't feel bad. This is because the PR was bad. And it's like, what does that mean to you? Does that mean like bad PR entitles you to make up slanderous theories about someone's family and their marital status and their health because of bad PR? So you actually don't feel that, you think they brought this on themselves? Like, yes, the PR was bad. Yes, the botched photo was a horrible move. But like, what? It's your fault. It's your fault for making up theories. Like, you were acting like trash, and so do we a lot of the time. That's why the podcast is called Space Trash. We're not out here being like,
yes,
these celebrities deserve us commenting on their lives. No, we're slinging mud. And like, you need to understand
for
that,
sure,
you're like being trash when you engage in that behavior.
Well, and I mean, okay, so like having nations upon nations of people not believing what is being said in official statements is bad. That being said, especially in retrospect, their PR, whether it was like sloppy or like, they said she's recovering from surgery. That's true. It's been true. Mm-hmm. That's what they said.
Yeah.
The photo was bad. But like, ultimately, this is showing a much larger either like boredom on the part of especially Americans, or it's our own shit where it's like, we don't trust anybody.
Right. Exactly. That's the other really funny thing is, if you're American, you're not entitled to good PR from the British royal family. We actually famously fought a war not to care about them anymore. And like, I care about them. I love the reality show of it. I always have. I always will. It's fascinating to me. But I'm not out here, even when I was a British taxpayer, I wasn't out here being like, I deserve this information from them or that. It's like,
right. No,
like, we're American. They don't have to give us shit. The only reason we even know what they're doing is because of the internet. Like, if this was 20, 30 years ago, no one would have really even noticed that she was out recovering. Like, it would have been reported, and then, you know, you would see her again after Easter. It was very bizarre that people, it shows how famous she is and how much people do care about her. But the really scary thing, yeah, is the Pizzagate and QAnon of it. Like, and it was mostly people who are sort of left wingy, not left actual left wing, but, you know, liberals that were obsessing yeah. over this and concern trolling, which is another term we love to use. Another one of my favorite totally. Things that people said was, well, they still should have gotten ahead of it. They still should have announced it earlier. They said that they didn't find it until the surgery. Did you want the doctors to alert the world's press that they found some funky cells in her and that they're sending them to the lab? Right. Like, they announced it when they announced it because the kids are on spring break this week. So they were hoping that they would announce it Friday news dump. And then the kids are off all week so that the furor would die down by the time the kids go back to school and see all their friends. So, like, shut up.
Makes perfect sense to me. Yeah.
You don't deserve to know about her health before her kids do, you psychos.
And before she even does. Like, it is actually not news that after the surgery, they may have found cancer. What was she doing during this time? She was going through rounds of tests. Like,
right.
It's not like, oh, look at what we found. Announcement. You know, talk about, like, they should have gotten ahead of this. I actually think that's what she's doing with chemo. I think it's like, how ahead of it could she possibly be? Like, it's cancer. Sorry.
Right. It's just been so weird to see all the reactions and to see how people justify this gross behavior to themselves. I mean, If I had been one of the people sitting around being like, someone got shot, someone got stabbed, blah, blah, blah. Like, you couldn't waterboard that information out of me right now. I would not be sitting there like, well, it's actually Kate Middleton's fault. Oh, the other thing is they're like, and then they threw a woman with cancer under the bus with the Photoshop thing. Who's they? Kate and William are co-CEOs of Kensington Palace, the apparatus. Like,
wait.
She's the boss. She took credit for the Photoshop. She took the fall because she didn't want to throw one of her now famously underpaid PR staffers under the bus. Like,
literally.
She's being a class act. I personally 100% believe that she did the Photoshop herself because I don't think any employee would have handed in such bad work and thought they could get away with it. But, like, even if I didn't think she did it herself, she did the classy thing instead of saying, oh, no, it was Rupert, you know, who makes 12 grand a year.
Right. Like, lol, totally. Blame him. Literally starting a witch hunt for no reason at your place of, like, right, you're the boss. Take the fall either
right.
way.
Right. People are like acting like it's sinister. And it's like, no, she was just trying to be nice so that people aren't. Yeah, like you said, on a witch hunt. Because, like, sadly, a few years ago, I think it was when Prince George was born, a radio station from Australia prank called the hospital and they got a nurse on the phone and they either got through to someone important or they got some information out of her and they aired it on the Australian
what?
Radio station. And that nurse ended up committing suicide. And
oh my God,
I know. And according to the recent reports, they're kind of saying, you know, William and Kate swore that they would never, ever, ever let someone else take the fall for anything that happens to them. Like, so this is kind of personal to them. They like, if there's a big scandal and people are looking around for someone to blame, they are going to jump on the sword because that was so tragic. And I mean, I'm sure it marred the birth of their son a little bit for them because they're just like, oh my God, this woman who they probably didn't even meet was so embarrassed and felt so horrible. Oh. Like, so that's
so sad.
I know, it's terrible. So anyway.
And also, like, just fuck everybody that's like prank calling. Like, it's like, look.
Yeah.
You're it's not about like your curiosity. It's like you're actually going to get someone in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
Don't do
pranks
that.
Are cruel.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go straight to Dan Schneider because that was one of the cruel, horrible things he did to the
pranks
kids
are cruel.
At Nickelodeon. That, like, I will be haunted for life by the kid who was being lowered headfirst into a fish tank full of baked beans. Oh my God.
I mean, even just having dicks on your shoulders, like everything about that documentary, Quiet on the Set.
Yeah.
We're jumping right into like the Fear Factor segment, whatever it was called, Truth or Dare or whatever. Dare
yeah,
or Dare.
Something about dares, yeah.
Like Scare or Dare or whatever. But like hard to even know where to begin with the Quiet on the Set documentary conversation, because it's almost like so much to talk about that there's nothing to talk about, because it's like, wow, how fucking fucked up. Like, this is all so weird. I mean, it's like, yeah. This is all bad. It makes a lot of sense why so many child stars end up in really weird adult mental health positions. And I can't believe how many adults were present for every single thing the entire time. Yeah. It's so weird.
I know. So first thing I want to say is incredibly well done four-part series. When you told me it was
four
parts, I was like, oh no, is this going to be Netflix style where they just rehash the same theme, the same B-roll, stupid, meaningless clips over and over again with no storyline? No, it was great. There was like barely any fat on it. I thought it was incredibly well done.
Yeah.
I think we watched it all in one day, me, my mom, and my husband. But yeah, like you said, the adults in charge. So Nick was like, my husband was like, why would any adult work on a kids TV show? And I was like, well, because they can't get work on an adult TV show. And because like I would make a kids TV show for Daphne if I thought she would like it. Like if I was in the industry enough and I had a good enough idea, or if someone offered for me to do it, I would be like, oh, hell yeah, that sounds great. But then I was thinking, here's why I actually probably I wouldn't take a leadership role at a kids TV show, because I would be so paranoid that anyone I'm letting in the door underneath me could be a pedophile, the way that that happened with Dan Schneider, because he obviously wasn't doing his due diligence on it. And he didn't seem really like nervous about it at all. They couldn't even be bothered then later on at Disney to background check the guy who was fresh off a pedophilia conviction and hired him for The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Like, these people are completely asleep at the wheel.
I mean, beyond asleep at the wheel. The most irresponsible driving I've ever seen.
Right. Like, if you're the person in charge and you know that there are going to be vulnerable children around these people, how are you not doing background checks on every single one, especially when you've got Nickelodeon and Disney money? It would take 5 minutes to just literally look at the sex offender database, which we did last night because we were like,
he's there. He's there for sure, right?
No, we didn't look. We looked up Bayhead. We looked up where I live, and there's like,
oh, awesome. Hey, good to know.
There's like 9 within a 3-mile radius.
Oh, wow. Locals.
I know. And that's an area that's like, you know, property is not cheap here. So I'm like, damn, how are these pedos with records affording? Like, oh my God, one of them lives in the motel around the corner.
Damn. So I've never looked up the registry. Is it specifically pedos, or is it just like sex offenders of all kinds?
All sex offenders. Some of them are just like run-of-the-mill sexual assault. And a lot of them will say things like used family members to gain access to a child. Like it doesn't go into like deep. I know, it's terrible. It doesn't go into deep detail, but it gives you all you need to know. And all of their faces look like, like you could tell they are the scariest looking dudes. And of course they're all dudes. Of course they're all dudes, which is also like the other red flag. Like, hire only women to work on these shows. And like, it's not to say there's no female pedophile out there. I'm sure there are some, but like, you will have a much better.
But they're teachers.
Oh yeah. Shit. There are like hot teachers who take advantage
lots actually.
High school boys.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're right. Never mind. Eat my words. But anyway,
they're not in Hollywood.
They're not in Hollywood. Yeah. They're not in Hollywood. They have,
as far as we know,
they're public sector.
Yeah.
Interesting delineation. Mm-hmm. Before we go too far down that road. I mean, were you shocked by this? I was pretty shocked. I guess I wasn't shocked, because we all know that people who are former child stars are famously messed up in the head a lot of the time. But I guess what I was shocked at was the lack of response, the lack of reaction by the good adults around them. That, I think, was like the scariest part.
How many people wrote letters of... So it's like Dan Schneider was a weirdo, but then this guy, Brian Peck, was a straight up sexual assailant of specifically who we now know. We've heard like rumors, but now we know officially it is Drake Bell. When he was 15, he assaulted the shit out of him multiple times and silenced him about it. I thought it was a really well done show don't tell of how like grooming actually works. Mm. Understanding where Brian Peck did all of that work over many years that he could then feel comfortable sexually assaulting this child and knew that it wasn't going to come out, it's like, wow, that was his day job. His job was just grooming this kid. And the dad was saying the whole time, this guy's grooming my son.
I know.
And like, the mom's like, eh, sleep with Brian. I don't want to pick you up. It's like, what? What the fuck?
Lazy piece of shit, right. Mom. Doesn't like driving. You don't like driving? What are you talking about?
Pick your son up.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I was really also taken aback by the amount of time it took him, the amount of effort he put into not just grooming him, but like even after he groomed him and the lawsuit was going through, 41 letters of endorsement. I couldn't get 41 people to write a letter endorsing my spelling skills.
Bro,
I'm like, how is this? Like, how does this guy have the time and energy and ability to ingratiate himself into so many people's lives to the point where they don't even believe that he could be a predator, and they seemingly didn't even think twice about writing this letter, as if what they thought, oh, the word they used a lot was temptation. He couldn't resist the temptation.
It's like, so fucking sick.
What?
The temptation?
I know, so sick.
But yeah, that was the thing, right? The amount of people that, right, I don't get 41 likes on a post these days. Like, I cannot, and so many people on that list were young stars who have also been in their own weird rumor mill sort of, I mean, I thought it was so interesting that we saw Leonardo DiCaprio getting like rubbed down by Dan Schneider. And not that this is like never
not
heard
by Brian Peck.
Certainly James Marsden, Brian Peck at least made a weird pass at you at some point. Like, are all of those people writing letters in denial about maybe what happened in their childhood? Is like the only thing I could think, like, is everybody just trying to like do the serum on their brain? We're like, it's actually all normal and okay. And it's like, but it's like, if somebody's going down, what was, I think it was James Marsden, what did he say? Like, what Brian has gone through is like the suffering of 1,000 men. It's like, but not 1,000 young boys. Like,
right.
Well, him facing these allegations have been harder on anyone that I've ever seen in my life. It's like, well, okay, but don't assault kids. Like, so fucking what?
Right. I think predators are just really, really, I don't want to say smart, they're wily and they're cunning in that they know to keep a couple kids around that they don't touch for plausible deniability.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
right.
That is part of the plan, especially
correct.
If you're in a high profile public facing job and you're using that high profile job to gain access. You do need to keep a couple red herrings around, which is like so fucked up. And it's just the level of premeditation is almost the most sinister part of it, where it's like, oh,
absolutely.
He really thought this through. Really, really thought this through. Same thing with the email guy who emailed the jerk off pic. Ew. Like, and then when they were going through the court documents, I have to say also, before we really fully get into him, one thing that did bother me about the production of this documentary, I was like, okay, how many times are you going to show us the Ariana Grande bed footage? We didn't need to see it,
dude,
several times. We didn't need to see the cum shot Jamie Lynn actual footage. Like, you could have described it.
That's really interesting. Correct.
And that made me feel like, okay, where's the line? Because that's exploitative too. If it's so unspeakably horrible that we need to make a documentary about how bad it is, then why
keep showing it?
Yeah, like, and they showed it so many times. And like, Ariana Grande and Jamie Lynn Spears were not in the documentary. I'm sure they were approached. So like, the fact that they didn't want to participate and then to keep showing these humiliating, like, the crime is the humiliation.
Absolutely.
It's not actually a crime, you know, but I'm saying, like, figuratively, the malfeasance
correct.
Is in the humiliation. It's in the making us watch these things happen to these girls. So you're repeating it. Even if you're saying this is bad, it's still the same thing. So that is the one thing that really bothered me, especially with Ariana Grande, because I feel like she's going through it right now anyway. And like, I don't know. And like, I don't want to speculate about what could or couldn't have happened to her, but you know, she's always had a sexy baby demeanor even after she got past Nickelodeon.
That's interesting.
And like, that is sort of a red flag, and it brought up so many questions. And then Amanda Bynes too, like, you know, they walk right up to the line. They're like, you know, Dan Schneider wanted to emancipate her. They did spend a lot of time alone together, but no one, I don't know, like, we'll see now that this documentary has happened if Dan Schneider actually did cross the line physically with anyone beyond massages. Like, they will probably maybe feel emboldened to come out now, but
that's not the sense I got, though. I have to say that isn't the sense I got.
Yeah, I know, me too. Like, I think he actually, he's still a monster. He's still horrible. He still obviously was like getting his rocks off by making these kids do gross things. But I think he actually genuinely wanted a career in showbiz so badly that he was able to restrain himself from crossing that line. And he thought that would be good enough. Do you know what I mean? Whereas
yes.
Like Brian Peck, I think he got the career in showbiz as a side effect of wanting a job that will get you close to kids, you know, like
completely.
Not to say one is better than the other. It's just an observation. I don't know.
I think what we're seeing with Dan Schneider is less that he was like a pedophile and more that he was one of the geekiest, ugliest nerds on planet Earth who was dying for clout. And the more successful that he got, the more he was just interested in flexing how much power he had.
Exactly.
I didn't get the sense that he was like sexually weird with the kids in, I think he's probably sexually weird. And these were kids.
Beyond the visuals that he forced them to take part
right.
in. And the dare stuff, like that was really, really twisted as well.
But that to me is more of like a power trip. I guess all rape or whatever is power, but it's
exactly.
Like that he was just really trying to see how far he could get any, even I think there was probably even some joy in like in getting the parents. I mean, the amount of parents that were in the doc saying, I was massively uncomfortable with what was going on with my child, but I didn't want to blow it for them. It's like, wait. You're blowing it for them. Like, say something.
I know you are blowing it. Like, it is being blown.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that was crazy. What did you think of? Oh, God. I mean, kudos to Brandy's mom, whatever her name was, for talking about how it worked, how her kid was groomed and everything. But when she said, oh, I saw the photo he sent and I didn't go to the cops because I didn't want them to know that I was letting her email with a grown man, I was like, you suck ass. Like, you, so you admit that you knew from the beginning it was wrong to let her email with a grown man. Like, you knew it was wrong, but you were just hoping against hope that this guy genuinely was trying to network with your 12-year-old. Like, you knew.
9-year-old.
Yeah, started at 9, right? Yeah. Like, you knew how bad that was. And I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, like everybody's reluctance to like mess with the system is so weird. It's like for you not to think that you're going to look back and regret, like for that mother to be sitting there going, I didn't want the cops to know that in the first place I was a bad parent. It's like, it's not about you and your bad parenting. It's like this dude is sending dick pics to 9-year-olds. I'm sorry to break it to you, but Brandy's not the only one, Mom.
Right, right.
He's not in love with Brandy.
She does eventually do the right thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, truly props to her for admitting that that was her mindset, because like that will.
Yeah.
Like parents will watch this. And if a similar situation happens to them, they will be like, remember how much of an asshole I thought she was for putting her own reputation above her child's safety. And they might make a better decision based on that. So good for her for talking about it. But you know, we're not supposed to judge other parents, but it's so hard sometimes. And like Drake Bell's mom, I'm sorry. What the hell was she doing?
Dude, pick your son up.
She must have been like the only, and I'm speculating here. Like the only thing that could really make you allow your child to spend the night at someone's house who your husband told you was a sexual predator is addiction. Like, I think that is the one thing that's like,
yeah.
Oh, I would rather not drive drunk or high. So this is in your twisted mind.
Right from Orange County.
Yeah. Like, so that I guess is it. But, and she, I guess, hated the dad. They had a bad divorce. So she's like, screw him. But it's, oh my God, the way that he successfully was able to turn Drake against his dad is truly scary. That is so scary.
Terrifying. The dad broke my heart. I give him so much credit for being so vulnerable. And actually, he's the real like heartbreak of the show, because he's the only parent actually that seemed to have his finger on the pulse. And I mean, even thinking about the mom, it's like they talked a lot about how bad that divorce was. And it's like, from what I can tell, he is on the right side of history. His heart's in the right place. Like, if they were having some horrible divorce, I sort of hate her. Like, not to say that, like, he's a great husband or whatever, but it's sort of just like, this is the only fucking sane person in this entire show. And like, yeah, whether it's addiction and or she just is the biggest, like, and or, but yeah, she could be the biggest fucking asshole in the world. It's like, this man is nothing but fucking pure love and doing everything he can to just communicate what he felt was a dangerous truth about what was going on. And everyone was just like, shut the fuck up, Barry. Like, whatever. Everyone was just like, actually, we don't even want to work with you anymore. It's like, he's getting dumped left and right.
Poor guy.
You know, whether it's his wife or his son. And he was just literally sitting there weeping, going like, when Drake Bell told his dad the news that Brian had been arrested, he's like, thank God it wasn't you. That, like,
oh my
gutted
God.
Me. I was like, oh yeah. Man.
Shattered. I just think, see, like, I think for the most part, if you confront someone who's creeping on your child, they're just going to move on to a different child because they don't want to get caught.
Right.
And they know that they could get caught. So, like, you just have to loudly confront them, even if you have a, like, even if you only have a tiny little hunch, like, even if the person's not a molester, they're going to be like, I'm never going near that kid again. You know, like, you just have to, because they wouldn't want to be seen as one. So I think you just have to say to the person, what the fuck are you doing around my kid? Get the hell away from my kid. And like, I don't know why he seemed to have stopped short of that. I guess because he didn't want to mess up his kid's career.
That's the whole thing. All these parents felt so lucky to be there that they completely missed the mark in terms of literally parents being there on set for a reason. Like, it's like, you don't get credit if it's like, I watched the whole time. It's like, if you're watching the whole time and fucked up stuff's going on, you don't get, it's not like, but I was there. It's like, but you were there.
Right. Why didn't you say something when they covered your child in peanut butter and let dogs lick it off him?
That was so, now, right.
What is
that
this?
What
are we in Guantanamo Bay? Like, what are we doing?
Seriously. I mean, I watch Nickelodeon all the time.
I don't remember the Dare stuff. I think that must have been after our time, because I guess it was. It makes sense, like, as a kids show producer, to look at what adult shows are doing and replicate it for kids. So, like, replicate Fear Factor makes complete sense. But those Dares took it way too far. Like, way, way, way too far.
They shouldn't actually be physically harmful or dangerous.
Right, they're children. I need to know what happened to the kid that was waterboarded with baked beans. Like, I don't understand how you survived that.
I could see him going fully the other way. Maybe he works in beans now or something, because he's just like, no, it's fine, it's all good. Like, otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, coping mechanism.
Right, I think he just was, and the same way that Ariana stuck with Sexy Baby, I hope that at the very least he has a massive bean fortune.
Right, and the thing about Ariana sticking with Sexy Baby is like, is that the thing that helped her survive the child star to adult star pipeline? Not actually fully evolving. Like, she kind of was like, you know what? If I go straight to grown woman, my fans are going to leave me. Like, probably subconsciously. You know what I mean? She was thinking, I can't leave Sexy Baby behind because it's gotten me this far. And if I immediately go Christina Aguilera dirty and speak in a normal vocal cadence, like, it might not work.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ariana still follows Dan Schneider on Instagram. I checked. Like,
wow.
I don't get the impression. I mean, this is a very Eclipse conversation.
Wait, I'm thinking, like, her mom is a boss bitch. I bet you he was scared of her mom.
Well, okay. Not only could I see that completely, I also think Ariana is objectively, I mean, her talent, especially just vocally, is, she was going to be a star, point blank period. She's the most obvious star. Even Amanda Bynes, in all of her, like, possibility and hope, she still had a certain, I mean, she's just an actor. Like, Ariana has the gift of song, which is not really something you can teach. So I also think everybody was probably, you know, they probably kissed her ass in whatever way. And I also think it might be a little bit different for someone like Ariana, who's doing all those weird sexy baby things, who, like, I don't know if she felt super sexualized as much as she just, you know, put her hat on and was like, this is the business. And I think it actually, I do think it informed her career trajectory, but I don't know if she would say that it was traumatic for her as much as I think she was like, this is the business. You know, she's a Libra moon. She's a Capricorn rising. She's like there to do business. She's a Cancer sun, like wanting to just sort of draw attention to herself and be this powerful feminine, whatever. But ultimately her moon's in Libra. She's like, everyone's happy. Cool. I don't know if I see her being that messed up by any of this.
Sexy baby is the Trojan horse to get the voice in the door.
Right. I think she was like, great, sure, I'll play. Mm-hmm. Another person who was notably absent from the doc was Liz Gillis, who we now to this day know is still Ariana's best friend. Liz Gillis, who also has a successful career post Nickelodeon, is married to one of the producers from one of the shows. They met when she was a child. I think he's like 20 years her senior. And the minute she turned 18, they basically got married. Nobody's talking about that. It was not in the doc.
Right. Obviously, it's very tacky to speculate about whether she feels victimized or groomed or not, especially since they're still married. But just in terms of pattern recognition, same thing happened to Jeanette McCurdy when she was like 18. She started dating a 30-something guy who worked on the show.
Oh, wow.
And in the bowels of Reddit, someone else mentioned another girl who was in their milieu who had a similar age gap and is married. And it's also like a Mila Ashton thing as well. So
right.
I don't know, like I would love to, we're not there yet. It's not going to happen, but a documentary about that genre of creep would also be very interesting.
100%.
But the thing is all those women, like Jeanette McCurdy says in her book that she outlines the various ways in which this guy was a dick to her, but I don't think she felt victimized from an age or power imbalance perspective. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these women, like, you know, they, you know, we've all had friends who dated much older guys and felt that they were the powerful one in the relationship. And what can you tell them? No, you're not. Like if they feel that way, it's not really our place to,
right,
to litigate that, you know?
It's such a fuzzy line because it's like, yeah, friends who date much older guys, but did they meet when they were 10?
Right.
Like, where's the line between, okay, I just like dating older guys, or I've known him my whole life and we ended up becoming attracted to each other as adults, versus like, was it these people's plan? Even like Jay-Z and Beyonce, they started dating when she was 16. He's way older than her. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah. And why is it magically not grooming the day you turn 18? You know?
Right. Right.
But that's a whole other tangent.
Would you let your kid act professionally if she wanted to?
If she really wanted to, yeah, I would let her. But I would absolutely be that squeaky wheel on the set. Because
for sure.
The other thing is, like, my family, my household income would not rely on that.
Right.
So, like, also, it would be easier today to be the squeaky wheel because the Me Too movement, now this documentary, like, it will be a lot easier. But the thing that I kept screaming at the TV screen while I was watching this was, why is no one calling their union rep? Why is no one calling their union rep? Why did the two female writers not call the WGA? Like, that is literally what they're there for. And yes, I would be scared of retaliation, but you can't retaliate against the union. That's why it's there. Like, the union is supposed to protect you from that. Even 20 years ago, like that, like LA is a union town. If the union steps in, like, I've had union reps stick up for me as an extra before, which, like, I didn't even feel entitled to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been on set before as an extra, and a union rep comes up and is like, hey, they were supposed to break an hour ago. Why didn't you let them break? And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You think I've ever gotten a break at a newspaper job, at an office job? Like, no, you sit at the desk all day. And like,
right.
I don't know. It drove me nuts that no one was ever seeming to contact the unions. And I wish that
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It just would be interesting to speak to someone who works, who is a rep or is high up in those unions, about what would have happened if they had, you know, reports about the kids being worked too hard or the kids having to swim in baked beans. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like such a gimme, such a simple thing. And I think even if you alert the union, like, they're not going to know that it was you. They might be able to guess, but like, you do have some recourse, I thought.
Nobody would alert a union about the baked beans thing because it's on TV.
Right.
What the writers who are being underpaid, when he's like, I want to give you a lower salary and I need you to work for free for 16 weeks. It's like, what? Like, are you fucking with me? And I think maybe part of why he was hiring the women that he did hire, he made sure that it was both of their like first jobs. Like he didn't hire many people that actually had, like, I think if it was my first job and I was so excited to finally get like my break, even you saying that, I didn't even like, it didn't occur to me once that unions like even were a thing. Like, I don't know if as a young Hollywood person, especially after a heartbreak of getting hired, fired and abused in the meantime on your first and only like gig or whatever, I don't know if I would think like unionize or we need to go right to the union. I think it would just be like, so like, it would be such a mind fuck that I don't know if you become like solution oriented at that point or you're just like fucking depressed and like, you're like, I guess this is the way it is. Cause like, I know, it did seem like just the way things were.
It's very easy for me to Monday morning quarterback that, but I don't know, so many, cause my parents worked at a newspaper that had a union. And so many times when I was starting out in newspapers and media companies, I was like, I wish I had a fucking union because they're working me to the bone and I don't get breaks and they're being terrible, you know, like working on weekends and nights. And I don't know. I just feel like it's supposed to help with that. And I understand why they would have feared retaliation more than, because yeah, like, what's it going to do for you if the union comes and tells them to knock it off and then they find a reason to fire you 6 months later because of
100%.
That.
Right.
Yeah. So I do get right. It, but I don't know. I wish it wasn't that way. And I think, I don't know.
Speaking of which, so something I found out in my Googling after the doc was that, did you know that none of the kids on any of those Nickelodeon shows get residuals?
What?
No matter what.
Why?
They got paid for their time on set. It was part of the contract. It got paid for their time on set, like they were day players, and otherwise they did not receive and do not receive. If the Amanda show plays on some channel somewhere in the ether, she's never getting paid for it.
Jeez, that is terrible. Like,
isn't that horrible?
They should get residuals.
It's really bad.
They should get residuals more than anyone because they're giving up their childhood. Like, these kids are supposed to be in school.
Right. It's exploitative from a business perspective because it's like, kids don't know any better. Like, kids' parents, these parents don't know what they're signing. Kids, they're just happy to be there. It's really taking advantage of kids long term in a way that fucks them more, equally, if not more long term than whether you fuck them or not. Like, it's like you fucked all of the kids. Like, people still make money on those shows, not the kids.
Right. That's why, like, I just know that if I had been allowed to do that as a kid, it would have been the time of my life and I would have loved it so much.
For sure.
You know, like, if it was not an abusive situation. So that's why, even having seen this, like, if my kid wanted to do it, I think I would try really hard to find a way to do it that wasn't toxic. And I'd be out at the minute it became, like, Natalie Portman's parents. They like made sure the minute something became fucked up, they were like, we're out, you know, like.
But even that's so interesting, though, because we're talking about The Professional and Lolita, and Natalie Portman was doing overtly sexual roles as a kid. Yeah. Like, where is that?
Yeah,
line?
That's true. But she seems fine with it. I don't know. I guess
I think in the same way of Ariana, these were choices that they, in whatever way they could, they did feel that they were making.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? Would you, if you had a kid, would you let them go on TV?
I would make it a mother-daughter act.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Goes without saying. Yeah, for sure.
We would go on TV together, I think, is the only thing I can imagine.
Judy and Liza, yeah.
Right, exactly. Lucille Ball, Lucy and Desi were the kids on the show. You know, it's like you have the kids on set. We'll all be on set together.
That's the only time that I believe, I've said this before, that's the only time I believe in nepotism in showbiz is if the kid is playing your kid. Why are you making someone else's child skip school to play your kid and they don't even look like you?
Right, it's actually the only appropriate time to hire a kid.
Right, like, because there's so much potential for abuse. And if you're the star of the show and your kid is on set, no one's going to abuse that kid. So, like, that to me, I loved that Bradley Cooper did that with his daughter. Even though it does give them a leg up eventually, it probably saves so many kids whose parents are hoping to rely on them for a paycheck. Like, actually, you know, when I look back on, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley's careers, that's where I'm like, okay, that was out of control. Their parents were getting greedy.
Yeah.
You know, like there was no need for that much stuff. Like then you see someone like maybe Hillary Duff where it's like, okay, she had one TV show and they didn't go so crazy with the licensing deals and the movies all over the world. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think there's and she seems very well adjusted. Like there has to be, I think, a way. There seems to be a way to do it because the reason still why I would try to find a way is because I know how miserable it is to work an office job. Like I don't want my kid to have to get a real job. Like it sucks ass. If you don't want to do an office job and you want to be an entertainer, like every day of your life in that office job is just disappointment, you know?
Unless you're like making really good jokes on the elevator and you get to scratch that itch a little. But like, yeah.
No, I've lived it.
Thankless life. It's horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Do you remember ever being freaked out by the shows on Nickelodeon when we were little? I remember thinking the foot stuff was weird. I was like, why does this network seem to think I want to see feet all the time? Because the logo was a foot. There were a lot of like foot commercials, like, you know how they do the house ads in between like the show and the commercial. It was always like dancing foot. And I was just like, why am I supposed to be into feet? What is this?
Yeah, I didn't notice the feet. I think the only thing that ever, like, I never liked watching anybody get gacked. But
slimed.
That's where it's. Slimed.
Gacked is what you do in your early 20s in New York when you get your first big real estate check.
The sliming really I found to be just like disgusting. I don't really like that kind of entertainment. But sliming people could be a whole metaphor for like we're coming on everyone. I mean, isn't that sort of the whole thing is oddly over-sexualized? And it seems like from people who really don't have sex, like I'm shocked when I looked into it afterwards. The fact that Dan Schneider is actually married to a relatively attractive coworker from that time blows my fucking mind.
Oh my
because otherwise
God.
I think that must have been the first time he ever had sex.
I can't believe that. Yeah, I was saying like none of these people have partners. What a friggin' red flag. Like, if any of my children ever in the future want to be actors and I go to the set and the entire set is single men, we're out.
Right. The entire staff of the Amanda show was men?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so Dan Schneider had the little baby Midas touch and he was the king of kids television. So nobody, because he was making them so much money, nobody had any thoughts about it. Was everybody just on benzos? I mean, what was going on that every single, like something that Dan says in that apology video and that he says in, you know, he wasn't interviewed for the doc, but they would show those like title cards between segments. Yeah. He is right that for anybody to act like Dan Schneider was the, like even what you're saying with like Andy, it doesn't own Bravo. It's like Dan Schneider doesn't own Nickelodeon. He's not actually giving people salaries or not. He may have a budget to work within and maybe, you know, give preference to men, but
no one
the amount of adult people, no one ever said the amount of adult people that had to okay all of the foot kissing and cum shots. It's a huge amount of people that were like, yo, this looks good. Nobody thought this was weird.
Right. And it doesn't make it okay, but it does bring up questions of like, who were these execs? Who were these people?
Right.
Why did we get, like, I would be really interested to get those people's names and like, kind of learn a little bit more about the people who were in charge of him. Like, he's not God. Oh my God, how weird was that clip where they're like, Dan is like a God. He had the kids say that on television.
I was just going to say. Right?
What is wrong with him?
If I remember correctly, and I can fact check this after I say it, but I'm pretty sure that what I read was that he married like another Nickelodeon producer around 2005 when he was sort of on a downswing moment. But like, why is he the way he is? I think because he was a total fucking loser. I think he is objectively one of the most unattractive nerds I've ever seen. For him even to have the hubris to attempt to be a TV star without going first and foremost stand-up comedy, because you're allowed to be kind of funny looking as a comic, for him to even try to make it as an actor and writer in Hollywood looking the way he did is like, I mean, God complex for sure. You know, it's like even when we read all the narcissist rabbit holes, we go down the rabbit holes. It's like a narcissist acts like grandiose because ultimately they actually have no sense of self. I think that not that he's a narcissist necessarily, but I think that like he is like overcompensating with such hubris and commitment to success that it's actually covering up this deeper thing inside where he's like, no one's ever kissed me. I didn't have a prom date. Like, he looks like such a fucking ugly dork.
Yeah. Since we love to armchair diagnose, what would you diagnose him with? I think narcissistic personality disorder works.
I think he is exhibiting narcissistic characteristics.
Let me read you the list.
Yeah.
Narcissistic personality disorder. Okay. Sense of self-importance, preoccupation with power, beauty, or success, entitled, can only be around people who are important or special. And the flip side of that is takes advantage of the people around them who aren't. Interpersonally exploitative for their own gain, arrogant, lacks empathy, and must be admired.
Okay, I literally think he's a narcissist.
Yeah, he's narcissist. He's like a super...
I think actually that's exactly what it is.
Super malignant narcissist. Did you notice also when they got Ray Romano to like milk a pickle? I noticed like when Pickle Boy, Brian Peck, when he stuck the pickle through the glory hole on the other side of the door, Ray Romano picks it up as if it were on a table. So I think they selectively edited that. I don't think Ray Romano knew that he was getting that pickle through a glory hole, because I think they knew he would have said something. And that's how sick they were. That's how much they knew they were getting away with being so disgusting, because they knew to hide it from him because he was a powerful enough person that Dan Schneider wanted to keep around, that they were like, oh, we can't go full glory hole for this.
Wow, that's a great hypothesis. I absolutely love that.
They probably also felt safe in the belief that he was not going to rewatch All That. He wasn't going to sit down and be like, my episode of All That's on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. 100%. That's such a funny thing to think about. He'd be like, everybody. But like, okay, Pickle Boy, for example. As an adult watching that, I'm blown away. Not only that he was giving people pickles through glory holes, but that Pickle Boy was even a thing. It is so fucking weird. That being said, when I think back to the stuff that I thought was funny, I get where that, I guess like maybe part of the like the joy they were getting out of like throwing all these weird things for the parents or for the adults or whatever. The reason they were maybe throwing it in is because, you know, maybe there was a sincere like assumption that the kids didn't know they were being sexualized, or that something like, I don't know. Because like, I think like there was a time where I might have thought a character named Pickle Boy was really funny. Like, I kind of get where that might have been funny to me as a kid. Like,
but I think I still would have sensed.
What's the line?
I feel like I still would have sensed that it was phallic even as a kid, you know?
Yes, but then the question becomes, if you sense that it's phallic, are you like, oh, I'm in on it? Because at that point, it's not necessarily like phallic and
It makes
and harmful
me...
to you, but the awareness of it is like, I'm old enough to know about this.
Right. It makes me feel special, and it makes me wonder.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It makes me wonder if there ever was a conversation where the execs said, Dan, what's with all the innuendo? What's with all the cum shots and like the phallic shit and everything? And he might have been like, as a creator, I know that
as the creator.
Yeah, like I obviously have an in with how kids think. This makes kids feel more mature, and it keeps them coming back to the show for more instead of graduating to MTV. Like, I really wonder if that was ever a conversation, because and then I still think the reason he was doing it was for his own creepy control complex, like to show that he is to get some sort of kick, not even a sexual kick, just an ego boost, a sick, disgusting, twisted ego boost from the fact that he's putting this material in front of other people's children without the parents' consent. Like, I think that's why he did it. But I think there that also what I just said is how he justified it, if the question ever came up, you know?
I agree completely. I mean, somebody in the documentary did make the sort of armchair diagnosis of like, I do think this is a person who is just really suffering from some level of arrested development. I mean, it'd be interesting to know more about his childhood and we're actually like, you know, and his chart's interesting. I did look it up, but it's like, I would be interested to know, you know, I could see it being even the kind of thing where it's like he had really like dirty talking parents. And so, you know, just whatever became normalized to him or whatever happened to him that got him stuck at like the brain of an 11-year-old, you know, I'd be interested to know more about that.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I also
to see the progression of how much older and sort of like curvier the girls in the shows got as it went on. Like by the time you get to Sam and Kat, it's like these are just teenagers. Like these aren't kids. Like they're still kids, but like they're dressing them in an over-sexualized way and they're post-puberty, you know? Like why are you building shows around people who have already like gone through puberty? Because that's what he was like into, I guess. And that's so weird. Like this network when we were little was all cartoons, and then he slowly flipped it. Every single show became live action so that he could be around kids, I guess, and like exert control over them. And the kids got older and older, and like I don't know, it was just like there was one person who was like, he just wants the popular girls from high school to look his way, and you could watch him slowly get to live out that dream as he shifted the goalposts from children's programming to really programming featuring teens, because that's who he was desperate to control.
I agree completely. I also think that per your point about how he would justify it to the networks about keeping these actors and growing this, you know, this mini empire, I also think they could say the same thing in terms of keeping audience. It's like, actually, I was too old for like the Ariana Grande. Like I was not there for Victoria's Sam and Cat, whatever. But I remember specifically when I started doing comedy in DC, one of the comics that I was very close to was like way like he was like 17 when he first started, so he was like all of our little baby brother, and like he was watching Victorious and he was like in love with Victoria Justice and he was a teenager. So I think part of what they were doing in terms of business strategy with the teenagers is not only keeping the talent on the shows but keeping the audience growing with, they were trying to make it like a more long-term commitment form, like people watching can keep watching.
Again, I think that's probably how he justified it, when his desire was just to have a flock of teen girls looking up at him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
totally. Yes.
And yeah, that what must have been like his twisted business logic that he tried to sell them on.
I could also see it being the kind of thing where, you know, I feel like I've heard this a lot, actually, but, you know, with children's programming, sometimes it's like something for the kids and something for the parents, like where maybe, I don't know if it's because we were coming off the like jacked up 80s and 90s Wolf of Wall Street Coke Dad days, but like, I don't know. I feel like maybe that the innuendo that they were getting away with, they may have sincerely thought like mom and dad will laugh too. Because I don't think Dan Schneider had children. Like, I think as what's interesting is like most of these people that are writing these shows and working are not parents. So
yeah, it's really
weird. I could see it being the kind of thing where they're like, we're getting all the, like, my bros are even going to laugh. And it's like, right. But they might connect it that it's their kid watching. So they might not laugh, actually, but good try.
That's,
you know,
how they would justify it. Yeah. And I think also because there's no code of ethics around what children's programming should look like, it probably was very easy for all of the more sensible adults in the room to be like, well, it's on a kid's show, so I guess it's fine. Like, he knows what he's doing. So like, you know what I mean? Like, there is no rule. Like, nobody was talking about, hey, why are we having this girl jack off a potato? Like, you just probably would assume that like someone else has vetted this, and in reality, it's just Dan Schneider like being a monster and being disgusting. But let's talk about Drake Bell. He also had a grooming lawsuit against him, and that was well known for the last few years. This this documentary is the first time he announced that he was the person who Brian Peck preyed on. So that to me was really shocking, because I was watching the documentary, obviously, and he's like, you know, I also had a grooming allegation against me, and there's a lot of misinformation out there about it. And that was so shocking to me, because I was like, I'm sure that's exactly how Brian Peck got all those people to sign to write those letters. Like, he said it was misinformation. So I'm really, really confused about that. And I found like a lot of the scuttlebutt on Reddit. People are saying that this person, the accuser, he blocked her as soon as he found out how old she was, and like,
yeah,
she was a crazed fan and everything. But it's like, he still was.
Right. His claim is that he didn't know how old she was and when he found out. But for the record, he also was also, I believe, married at the time either way. So he's like, just, it's not good.
Like, right. And like, that's what they all say. Didn't know how old she was. Like, right. Literally oldest excuse in the book. And he still apparently was saying, you're beautiful and stuff, like before he thought that she was 18, because she would, from what I read, she was 12 when they, and please no one quote me on this, like actually look up the lawsuit, because I didn't have time to look up the lawsuit. So I'm just quoting stuff like third hand
Reddit
now. Yeah. So allegedly what these people are saying on Reddit, and these people, a lot of them are Drake fans, Drake Bell fans. So this could be completely biased information. But they said she was 12 when they started talking, but she told him she was 15. They talked for 3 years. Drake, why are you talking to a 15-year-old for 3 years? And
right.
Allegedly when she, they'd only became flirty, they said, when she turned 18 in his eyes, but she actually was still only 15. They said that like she would show up at his concerts, and it's like, well, yeah, that's what teenagers do. They're fucking weird. And it's on the adult in the situation to not communicate with that person. Like, it's just, I don't know, even the way that people were justifying it, fans of his justifying it, it still was like, no, this is still ringing alarm bells. It's nowhere near what Brian Peck did to him, but it still is like, well, it still is a little over the line and inappropriate. Even if the most charitable possible reading of it is true, it's still not okay.
100%. I think the only thing like his mother that we could say is like, the other thing that we do know that was going on at that time was that he was not only the fact that this is the first time that he's ever talked about this is pretty remarkable. Like, he's carrying a lot of shame and a lot of repressed, suppressed emotions, and I mean, his truth. And he was struggling at that time, I think, pretty hardcore with addiction. So I could see where, like, those two influences would come together. And I don't know, sort of even just being engaged in a conversation, even if you thought she was 15, it's weird either way. But I wonder if there was a part of him, now we're really like armchair diagnosing, like truly no idea, but like I imagine there might have been a part of him that was actually just seeing, like, because he was 15 when he was assaulted.
Right.
So I wonder if he was actually like, as an adult, what is a 15-year-old like, you know, what does 15 mean? And
right, like,
just being curious about that.
We hear a lot of the time that people who are abused repeat the cycle, and this seems to be that in action. And I wonder how much of him even carrying on a conversation with this girl was just him being a bit of an ego monster. You know what I mean? Like, not even having really sexual interest in this person, but just there for the flattery. Because, like, let's be honest, after Drake and Josh is canceled, he does still have a few roles, but it's not the kind of adulation he was getting when he was at the top of Drake and Josh mania. So, like, how much of him even indulging younger fans is just him being like, I want to hear from a fan because I'm down on myself, which doesn't make it okay, because grown men should
but
not
I understand
be
that.
Speaking to teenagers in the DMs, but like, it, I don't know, it seems, that also seems plausible as well. And you are using that person then for an ego boost, and it's not okay. But I don't know, I think,
what are the odds,
and
though,
that makes it like almost even sadder for him, that he just like, oh
right,
the 15-year-old, this girl likes me. Like, oh, God.
Well, I think it is safe to say that he did feel like such a, like, his whole story is very sad. I mean, he looks 95 years old. Like, I can't believe that he's our age. He looks weathered by the world. What I also think is interesting is that after the show ended, he and Josh had a big falling out, and Josh has had a massively successful, a very, now he's thin and he's in great shape and he's in a ton of fucking, I think he was even in Oppenheimer. This dude has had a massively successful career. Yeah.
I had no idea that he was like,
Google his resume. He's in a ton of shit. Yeah. Totally normal, attractive working actor. What I think is insane, though, what are the odds that Josh and the abuser had the same last name?
Really?
Don't you
weird.
Hate that? I hate that.
Yeah. Like, Drake is not only haunted by this horrible abuser, but also by the success of his co-star, who was supposed to not even be the hot one.
Right. He was like the fat, geeky one until actually in real life, he's not at all. He has a great career, and they have the same name either way. Like, The pecs are coming out on top here for some reason.
Dark stuff. Dark stuff. Yeah, like, I don't know. I hope Drake Bell is okay. I hope he's not texting any other teenagers. There's no excuse for that. So, I don't know. What else do we have to say about this documentary? We got to get to the Diddy drug bust, or, you know, sex trafficking bust, and I gotta go soon. Do you want to go through Dan Schneider's astrology? Is it even appropriate for us to do this? You know, sometimes when it's dark, I feel like we shouldn't talk about astrology, but
I know. I'm shocked you even wanted to do this episode. Everyone kept asking me about it. I'm like, that is not Molly's cup of tea. I'm like, she's not gonna like this. But
I know,
way to go out of your comfort zone, Mall.
Why was I down to do this? Honestly, because nothing else is going on. Nothing the F else is going on. Like, It's been rough. But
until
okay,
Diddy
yeah.
gets raided. Until Diddy gets raided. Lol.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, so okay, tell me real quick his I don't know, I guess we're doing this. Tell me what you want to tell me about Dan Schneider's birth chart. I have to also say the funniest thing in the world in his apology video was when he was like, well, you know, I've always hired black actors.
Oh my god, dude.
Like,
yes.
DEI is truly meaningless if we're letting the pedo-esque creep use it. I mean, we're not letting him use it to get out of jail free, but it's just, it's so funny to me that he thinks he can do that. That he thinks, well, you know, I gave Keenan and Kel their start, so I'm actually a great guy.
It's like you're so fucking lucky to have them on your roster, but how many of the black kids in that documentary were like, I knew that I was hired as the token black person? It's like, Dan,
right?
One black person isn't diversity,
right? Also, it was really fascinating, before I forget, that Drake Bell was saying that Dan was the only one who actually asked him about what happened and told him, if you need anything, let me know. And that to me is just kind of like, humans are so complex. Like, also, he wasn't into boys, so it would have been more abhorrent to him that a man sexually assaulted a boy. Like, maybe if it had been a female victim, Dan would have been a little bit more, oh, man, come on. Like, I get it. But you know what I mean? Like, in a gross way. But I don't know. I think Dan Schneider, at the end of the day, like, he cares more about his reputation than he cares about getting his rocks off based on his actions.
Like, agree more.
Yeah. Like, it makes sense to me that he would be pissed that someone under him was doing that, because it threatens his reputation. It threatens the whole thing that they've got going on. So, like, it's not that surprising, you know, and it's an opportunity for him to look like the hero, which every narcissist wants, you know.
One of the things that was very complicated about the doc is that, like, right, aside from like the weird implied pornographic child gags, no pun intended, I think he really liked being like the one that's really there for them. Like, so much of the documentary was like, Amanda came to me when she needed help. Like, so-and-so came to me when they needed help. He really thought that, but that's where, like, narcissism mixed with, like, genuine, like, I want to know what happened to him in his childhood. Like, arrested development of some kind, where he really doesn't feel like the adult. He's like, I'm big brother. Like, it's almost as if, those are his peers, and, like, but he's the one you can come to. He's, like, the RA on the campus, but it's like, you're the showrunner and you're an adult. Like,
yeah, it's all part of the god complex. It's all just part of the god complex. Yeah. But okay, what do you want to tell me about his chart? And then I think we have to skip Diddy, because I can hear my baby crying and I have to figure that out if we're ever going to get her on TV.
right, at least cry on command, Daphne, hello. But we can do Diddy tomorrow when they find his plane. It's breaking news as we speak. Like, Last I heard, his plane was missing. Like, it's so much to discuss, actually, but it's still happening in real time. What I will say astrologically is something that's interesting to me about both of these events, like the show coming out and the revelations of Diddy's dark underworld, I suppose, is that the South Node in Libra, conjunct the moon, that's what a lunar eclipse is, actually has us reviewing justice and relationships and power stuff from our past, and bringing to light the deep, deep shadow. You know, during an eclipse, the moonlight is dim on what otherwise would be a full moon. So there's still the heightened emotionality of the full moon. But actually, in the darkness, in the unexpected elliptical darkness, what you actually get this deeper exposure of is the shadow. While the moon and the earth are dancing in the shadow, we all get this experience of what's being illuminated that actually wouldn't be illuminated if there was illumination. What's the dark, deep dark that's really going on underneath, not only in ourselves, but also in the culture. So for like Diddy and Dan Schneider and all of these relics of our childhood, I mean, I was closer to Diddy than I was any Nickelodeon show, you know, and none of it's surprising, but the amount of allegations against Diddy now and for years until this moment, it has not really been revealed how much dark shit he has been behind. And it's like, whoa, that is certainly a revelation. And I wonder what else will come out of the woodwork. I guess there's like some statute where like December 2023 was like the last time that people that had been abused, even if they signed NDAs, they basically made a call and said like, hey, we will lift the statute of limitation if you want to make a claim about something that happened to you in the 90s. So that's why there's like this outpouring of allegations happening all of a sudden, because now for the first time in, you know, I don't know, history, the court is actually interested perhaps in justice. So they're trying to, like, in a post-Me Too world, make an effort to take down some of the bad guys, even if it's 20 years too late. So that's why I think this is all coming out right now. But Dan Schneider, all I want to say is Capricorn sun, Capricorn moon.
Wow.
Capricorn midheaven, Capricorn Mercury, Capricorn South Node. The dude's all Capricorn.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Why? Why is he Capricorn?
Because he just, like, loves status.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go.
All right. You enjoy being a great stage mom. And
thank you.
We will see you on the other side of the SAG protests when Daphne gets her first big gig.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will be crossing that picket line. No, just kidding. I'll be on the good side. I'll be on the good side.
Yeah. Also, Molly and Sarah are available to play moms.
Right.
And stuff.
This is the thing. While we're watching this documentary, my mom's like, did you ever want to be on TV? And I'm like, I begged you every day.
I did.
Every day. I was like, listen, I will touch any foot in America. Like, I will slurp I will do lines of baked beans. Like, I don't know. That's something bad would have definitely happened to me.
For sure. But also, I want to say if it did, I do think Andy would say something.
But she would have also been working, I think. Like, I don't think she had it in her to sit patiently while I was, like, wrapping up my scene. Like, I think she would have been like,
right, you know,
drop me off, beep, beep, see you later. Like, I don't think she would have been, it would have been too boring for her. She wouldn't have been able to do it.
Maybe Drake Bell's mom was a journalist.
Maybe that's it. She was chasing a lead that whole time. Overnight, she was just on the story. That's it.
And the irony that the story was right under her nose. But isn't that how things go?
Isn't it always?
Gosh darn it. Josh darn it.
Josh darn it. Oh, God.
We'll be back with some Diddy talk and Patreons soon.
Definitely. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.